Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our millions of listeners around the world, but also to welcome to the programme today four clever and talented performers who are going to display their skill with words and language as they try and talk with humorous ingenuity on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, a very talented comedian and writer, and that is Janie Godley and Marcus Brigstock. Please welcome all four of them. Seated beside me is Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me keep the score and blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from one of the venues, one of the largest venues at the Pleasance, which is on the festival fringe up here in Edinburgh. And we have a wonderful, enthusiastic fringe audience to cheer us on our way as we start the show with Clement Freud. Subject to begin with is five-star review. Oh, very important up here in Edinburgh. Tell us something about the subject, starting now.
I'm never quite sure how many stars there should be. I stayed at a six-star hotel and said to the manager, I thought five was the absolute limit, and he said, we got the extra star because we polished people's sunglasses on the beach. And five-star reviews at the Edinburgh Festival, where we are currently doing Just a Minute for the 19th year, and I wasn't that young when we began in 1847, is a great pleasure, and it's full of Scotch people who don't like to be called...
Janie, you challenged.
Did he just call us Scotch people?
That's right. Right. You're quite right, Janie. There are all the Scots and the Claudians clapping here. There's only one thing that's Scotch, and that's whiskey.
I'm in the middle of a sentence.
So what's your challenge, darling?
That he said Scotch, and I think that's not really a good challenge to pull him up in Scotch?
Not good.
Am I allowed to arm wrestle him over it?
No, because you would win, darling.
Okay.
He was referring to people and Scots people when he said Scotch. So I give you the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, you've got a correct challenge, and you take over the subject with 23 seconds on five-star review starting now.
I have had a five-star review. It did cost me quite a lot of money, and it also took up a lot of my time, and I never...
Oh, Marcus challenge.
Sorry, it's a repetition of a lot.
There was too much
lot. Was there a lot?
A lot of a lot.
It's because I've had a lot of five-star reviews.
So, Marcus, you've gone in there, and there are 18 seconds still available. Five-star review starting now.
I will never forget how excited I was when I got my first five-star review. I achieved this by adding together the reviews of three newspapers.
Right, Clement, your challenge.
I thought he said review.
No, he said reviews the second time, and the review is on the card.
Is it?
Yes.
It's you having the card.
Yes, I was having the card, yes. And I hate to remind you, Clement, because, you know, you have been playing for 40 years, but actually you can repeat the whole phrase or the words individually.
Like in Just a Minute.
In Just a Minute, that's right, yes. But it's lovely to review the way we can play the game. So it was an incorrect challenge, Marcus, and there's 10 seconds still available. Five-star review starting now.
Most of the posters slapped up on the walls all over this fair city have got five-star reviews on them, but many, of course, are written by the performer's mother or father. My own...
So Marcus Brigstock was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now taken a strong lead ahead of Paul Merton, Clement Freud and Janie Godley in that order. Janie, will you take the next round? The subject, a nice Scottish subject for you, hen, a sporran. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
A sporran is basically a dead cat that's been bashed flat and possibly sat and then stuck on the front of a kilt. Many Americans try and catch a sporran but end up just getting the cold. You can't really find the sporran anywhere other than up an alley that has a sign saying Sporran Alley. Oh, I interrupted myself.
I
I heckled myself. How mad is that?
I know. You've only played it once before him, but you're doing very well. Don't worry. But Clement's played a lot. He spotted this. It's a repetition, wasn't it? Right, Clement.
You
have the subject. 42 seconds. A sporran starting now.
Scottish people who come from Scotland quite often wear sporrans, but Scotch people are those who drink not gin or rum or vodka, but a whiskey, spelt W-H-I-S-K-Y, the E being reserved for Irish sinner.
Paul, you challenge first.
Slight hesitation.
There was indeed, yes. Couldn't wriggle out of it any other way, but it was delightful. 19 seconds are still available. A sporran with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, it's one of the great delicacies here at the Edinburgh Fringe, particularly stuffed full of crab meat or cheese on the outside, and then deeply fried in a huge vat of oil, and served up with chips and all kinds of other potato varieties, such as sautéed. Oh, that's a lovely way to prepare a dish, isn't it? And when you sit down with a sporran in your hand, you think to yourself...
I should explain to our listeners abroad, and we have a great deal of them, please don't go into a restaurant up here and ask for fried sporran.
No, do.
Anyway, Paul Merton was speaking then as the whistle went gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's moving up on Marcus. Brigstock is in the lead. And Marcus, it's your turn to begin. Ginganguly is the subject. Can you tell us something about it in this game, starting now?
Ginganguly is not, as many people think, a nasty cycling accident where you fail to lift your leg high enough to get over the saddle. It is a song enjoyed by scouts sitting round a campfire, the campness of...
Paul Challenge.
Do they really enjoy it? I think they're made to sing it. I think it's deviation. I don't think they enjoy singing it at
all.
Well,
they look as if they're enjoying it.
Oh, yes, but
haven't
that's
you
just
seen,
pressure.
You know, Ralph Reeves?
That's peer pressure, that is.
Scouts look as if they're enjoying a lot of things they don't really like,
no,
though, Nicholas.
Ralph Reeder really used to whip them up into a frenzy when he started the Boy Scout movement.
Yes.
No, it was the one started, that
Ben Powell started
there,
it, but Ralph Reeder used to run the gang show.
Yes, back in the 1940s. Yes.
Before you were around, Paul. Mm. Right. But you knew about it.
Yes.
You're looking at me as you said you were one of them, weren't you? No, yeah. I wasn't. Right.
Were you too old?
You were interrupted, Marcus,
yes.
So you get a point for that.
Right.
And you have 45 seconds on Ginganguly starting now.
I was not a member of any of Baden-Powell's youth adventure groups. I was in the Goths.
Paul Challenge.
Well, it was a hesitation.
There wasn't.
Unless he's not a member of this troop, he's saying they're enjoying it. He doesn't know. I thought he had inside information, and he tells he's got nothing to do with it. Mm. I feel cheated.
It doesn't matter if you know nothing about the subject, Paul. You know yourself. You have to keep going with it and do your best. And you bluffed as you did with the sporran. Very well. 39 seconds. Ginganguly, Paul, starting now.
Ginganguly, guly, guly.
Clement Shand.
Repetition.
Of what?
Guly, guly, guly.
That's right.
It's on the card.
I know it is.
Times.
It's not five times in the card. Yep. Ginganguly's on the card.
Yes, and you didn't. You only repeated it twice. Ginganguly, guly, guly.
Yeah.
So that's four.
I'd have repeated it more if you let it go on a bit more.
And no, would have done. So incorrect challenge, actually. 37 seconds still available. Ginganguly, starting now.
Three of the finest Indian cricketers of the generation. Unfortunately, Guly was the only one that played for the full team. Gin and Gan were keen competitors and would practice their off-spin bowling round the back of the Texaco's delicatessen, Loftus.
Marcus challenged.
Texaco don't have a delicatessen, so...
Tesco?
Yes.
Oh, did I say Texaco?
Yes.
Yes,
Texaco, yes.
I am being sponsored by Texaco.
Marcus, we're still with you, Ginganguly. 17 seconds, starting now.
I'm thrilled that the subject's come back to me because I've got lots more to say about it. Chiefly this, that when I was in the Goths, a youth group that was a lot of fun, we didn't get badges.
Clement Challenge.
He sent group before.
You sent group
before. Yes, I have.
That's right.
Yes.
So yes. Clement, you have the subject now. You have 7 seconds. Ginganguly is starting now.
I think most people know that Ginganguly is not an anagram of kleptomania, and yet it is pretty important.
Hermann Freud was then speaking as the whistle when gained that extra point. He's in third place behind Paul Merton, who's just behind Marcus Wigsock, who's still in lead. Jane is trailing a little. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is naming names. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
When a child is born, it is truly a miracle of birth. And we look down at that poor, sweet child, children.
Marcus, yes.
Repetition of Charles.
Yes, you were listening well. Yes. 52 seconds are still available, Marcus. Tell us something about naming names, starting now.
I think one of the hardest things about naming names is that a name by its nature has already been named. However, in the Cash for Honours crisis, there were...
Janie Challenge.
There was a wee bit of a hesitation.
There was.
Where was the wee hesitation?
It did. And that in Scotland is definitely a hesitation.
No, it's fine.
I'd give you the benefit of the doubt, Janie, because you're fairly new to the game, and I think you are very good, and therefore you want naming names in 43 seconds, starting now.
Naming names in Scotland is when you're called a grass, and many people have been a naming names type person, and we get there eventually. Naming names is a hard thing. When my daughter was born, I decided to call her Ashley. I couldn't think of what to say about...
Clement, your challenge.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation, yes. 26 seconds, Clement. Naming names starting now.
What people tend to say on this subject is I'm not naming names.
Marcus, challenged.
Yes, on deviation. I've just had the subject and I didn't tend to say that at all.
You did have the subject. You
yes.
didn't say that.
No.
But Clement has decided that he can say that. And within the rules of Just a Minute, he can say that.
Oh, yes, no, but Sir Clement said that...
I specifically
yes.
did not mean you.
Mm. Oh! You mean ordinary people?
When I said...
Yes. I'm so sorry, I misunderstood.
So, Clement, you have another point. You have the subject. 21 seconds, naming names, starting now.
So here are a few names that I would not be naming. Lloyd George, Baldwin, Macmillan, Balfour, Churchill, Wilson, Callaghan, Thatcher.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of Zoological Gardens.
Paul.
Yes.
Yes. No, I think I give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. But he wasn't actually deviating from the subject of naming names, going a bit slow, but... there are
Could
still...
I have a bonus point for not saying how old you are?
I don't mind if you say it or not.
Oh, good.
Right.
Can I get a bonus point for saying how sexy you are?
Darling, you can have two bonus points for that.
That's how you do it, Clement.
Right. Clement, it was an incorrect challenge, so you still have the subject, and there are 7 seconds on naming names starting now.
There are several books in the Bible which spend much time naming names. Leviticus is one of them. Abraham.
So, Clement Freud was again speaking as a whistle. When gained that extra point, he has leapt forward, and he's equal with Paul in second place, and they're trailing Marcus Brigstock by 3 points. And they're all just ahead of Janie Godley. But Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is on and off. 60 seconds, starting now.
Georgi Onondaff, as he liked to be called, was an angry young Soviet playwright whom you might remember wrote a three-actor on the strike undertaken by the librarians in Essex. And it was called... Book blank in anger.
Jane, are you challenged?
I have no idea what he's actually talking about. So I'm going to take that as deviation.
Deviation, yes, from on and off.
Yeah.
Yes, I haven't any idea what he's talking about either.
I thought it was just.
Did anybody in the audience have any idea what he's talking about? So there must be deviation.
Called it.
So, Janie has the benefit of the doubt, Clement.
Have you not heard of Onondaff?
Well, we have now. Hadn't heard of it before.
Really? He was a playwright.
He wrote a play called This and That.
This and That, yes. And Janie, you have the subject. It's on and off, and there are 39 seconds starting now.
On and Off is a new pop group that consists of three men, two children, and a dancing dog. They often do a lot of singing outside in the streets, and people run away from them and shout, "On and Off is back on!" And people don't like that, and they look at them and think, "Do they have flyers? Please don't hit me with any pieces of paper." On and Off are going to be the biggest next hit in Britain. You should see them. Come along. They have lollipops and sticks, and they sing, "On and off, on and off, on and..."
Paul, you've challenged.
Repetition.
Yes, slightly. There was, wasn't there?
I know,
yes.
but
it's on the card, I know.
She's on the card.
But she was obviously singing a song which was going to carry on like that forever.
No!
How
still...
does the chorus go?
pin down.
Oh, wait a minute. Five, we've still got 9 seconds on and off, starting now, Janie.
They sing in the streets, they laugh.
Oh, dear,
I
yes,
think we had Paul. Sing before.
You had Sing and the Street before.
Yeah, but I like being interrupted. It's my favourite thing. Mm. It's like an on and off thing.
Right.
You must be ecstatic the way this is going.
Yes.
Paul, a correct chance. 7 seconds on and off with you starting now.
Global warming is something we can all tackle if we learn to switch off our central heating. It's no good just putting it on in the morning thinking that's good enough. Oh, no!
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's now 1 point behind Marcus Brigsock, who's in the lead, and he's 2 ahead of Clement Freud and 3 or 4 ahead of Janie Godley. And Janie, we'd like you to take the next round, and the subject is ear, nose and throat. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I have ears, nose and a throat, and all are affected at the Edinburgh Fringe. You get the lurgy in every venue. The smell, the bacteria, makes you sniffle, slurk, and you can't properly hear.
Marcus, challenge.
Yeah, it's a possible deviation, but I've never heard the word sliach before.
But you see, I know Glasgow well because I lived there for many years, and I mean, there's all kinds of Glaswegian words.
That, slurk is
an official word. Oh.
You're too posh to get it, that's it.
Yes. Does it have a meaning at all?
Yes. Yeah. If you slurk, it's a wee thing worse than actually slurping.
Yeah. It's a thing at the back of your throat. I'll teach you.
Sometimes when you challenge in just a minute, you get a lot more than you bargained for.
Give Marcus a bonus point for his contribution. Jamie gets a point because she was interrupted incorrectly, and she still has a subject. And 48 seconds, ear, nose and throat, Janie, starting now.
Smelly things go up your nose, and that's what I really love about the Edinburgh Fringe. There is a host of different scents that wander around every single street that you encounter. Clowns have got a certain odour that you can avoid if you stick a big clown nose on your...
Right. Marcus, you challenged.
Yeah, repetition clown. Of clown.
Yes, clown. Right. And there are 30 seconds still available, Marcus. Tell us something about ear, nose and throat starting now.
When I was a young man, I always had infected sinuses, which meant that snot dribbled all down my face and mingled with the Marmite that I had failed to fit into my mouth effectively, making a sort of horrible greeny-brown pulp that gathered in the corners of my...
Oh, yes, Clement challenge.
Repetition of symptoms.
The words are repetition of symptoms, but he didn't repeat the word symptoms.
Oh. Mm.
He had all these ghastly symptoms, and we were cringing. The look on my face was enough to get the audience walking out of the theatre. So he didn't actually repeat symptoms. So the subject, Marcus, is still with you, ear, nose and throat, and you have 13 seconds starting now.
I was a popular child, much loved for my very colourful face that always had such interesting shades.
Paul Challenge.
Well, we've had an awful lot of nose. I think we'd all agreed on that, but we've had very little on ear and throat. So deviation.
Ear, nose.
We've had no ear or throat at all. We've had nose, but no ear or throat.
Gosh, what a difficult decision to
make. Yeah, make the decision and give it to me. There's been no mention.
Well, I mean, nose is on the card. He was talking about the nose.
Yeah, but not ear and throat.
Not ears and throat, no, but...
I was about to move on to the streams of wax that poured down the sides of my neck.
Well, maybe I've done us all a favour. We're not doctors. We don't have to
listen to this. No, because I think within the rules of just a minute, he wasn't strictly deviating from the... Yes, because nose is on the card, and he was talking about that aspect of the subject, and I think he's entitled to have the benefit of the doubt. He keeps going 6 seconds, ear, nose and throat, markers starting now.
Corks are what my mother used in the end, in my ears and nose, throat and...
And poor challenge.
She couldn't have put corks down your throat, surely. Does she like you?
Not much.
No, was she? Fair enough, I withdraw my challenge.
No, that's all right.
I bet she did put corks in his throat.
He had the benefit of the doubt last time, I believe that he did convey there were corks in his ears and his throat.
He did, didn't he?
Yes, that's right.
You were listening, weren't you?
I was...
listening.
Don't laugh.
Don't stop him. It's taken him half an hour to get him to this point.
So, Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, because I gave it to Marcus before. You have 2 seconds. Ear, nose and throat, starting now.
Ear, nose and throat. Whichever way you say it, it's still throat, nose and ear.
So, Paul Merton was speaking then as the whistle went, and he gained that extra point for doing so. He's moved forward. He's still behind Marcus Brigstock, who's 3 ahead of him, and he's 4 ahead of Clement, and 5 or 6 ahead of Janie. And the next round, Marcus, it's your turn actually to begin, and the subject we'd like you to start with is the law of diminishing returns. A bit of a pompous subject to start with, but see what you can make of it starting now.
I think one of the best ways to define the law of diminishing returns is by referring to snot and Marmite and earwax. And it just goes to show that an audience can quickly tire of mucus in its various forms and how it dribbles down a child's face. However, other means of defining...
Yes.
Well, when he's not talking about his nose, he doesn't know what to talk about.
No.
Hesitation. He's got one anecdote about his streaming nose.
I'm glad you challenged, actually.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm challenged as well.
It was getting a bit disgusting. It really was. Yeah. The images you were throwing up, I mean, this audience were in a state. Right. Paul, you have the subject. You have 42 seconds. The law of diminishing returns starting now.
The last time I came out of the clap clinic, I thought to myself, I'm not going back there again. That's the law of diminishing returns. It's doing the same thing and then thinking to yourself, well, was it really as good as last time? Look at just a minute. It's been going since 1927 and the old...
Clement challenge.
67.
Really?
It may just seem like 1927 to you, Paul.
Wasn't Lord Haw-Haw the original chairman?
But yes, Clement's right. It started in 1967.
And Nick and I were in it, and we weren't that young.
But not that young now. Anyway, Clement, you have the subject. You have the law of diminishing returns. You have 27 seconds starting now.
The one thing the diminishing returns don't seem to get to are the solicitors who charge ever more and increasing sums of money. Some of my best friends are in the law of diminishing returns, and I never see them. They don't come back.
Right. Mark, as you challenge.
Yes, a bit of a hesitation.
Yeah. A bit of a hesitation. Mm. More of a full stop, I think, yeah.
I was giving Sir Clement the benefit of the doubt on the basis that he said some of his friends were in law, and that is a horrifying thought for anyone.
Yes. Anyway, Marcus, correct challenge, 7 seconds still available. The law of diminishing returns starting now.
Anyone who has invested their entire family fortune in inflatable budgerigars will know a huge amount about the law of diminishing returns.
Right, so Marcus Brigstock was speaking as whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's increased his lead slightly at the end of that round. So, and I see we're moving into the final round. Oh, you are lovely. Right, so you'd like to know the scores, we do that. Janie, who's only played the game once before and is shining magnificently, but she's in a fourth place. She's in a very strong fourth place. A brilliant fourth place. And she's just behind Clement Freud, who's 4 points behind Paul Merton, and he's a point or two behind Marcus Brigstock, who's in the lead as we go into the final round. And Paul, I think it's back with you to begin, and the subject is your mum. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
My mother, when she listens to this programme every Monday when it goes out and then it's lights out, she has to...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of out.
Yes, it was out. Oh, when
yes.
he goes out and lights out.
Oh.
So, Clement, you have the correct challenge, the subject, and 54 seconds, your mum starting now.
I always used to think my friends at school had better mums than I had. Your mum, I would propose, is nicer than mine. And my mother heard this and was extremely unimpressed. She hit me.
Marcus, you challenged.
Yes, there was, before the tragedy of Clem's childhood, there was...
They don't hit you straight away, I mean, they do.
Yes, yes.
No, you saved us from the tragedy, and Marcus, you take the subject with 37 seconds, your mum starting now.
Children use your mum as an insult on each other. In fact, at a bus stop, I heard some youths saying that one of them had seen the other's mother going to the chip shop in her slippers for the third time that week. And the child looked sufficiently chastened, but immediately came back with, "Your mum's so hairy she looks like she's got Bob Marley in a headlock," which I felt was rather extreme, given that he clearly hadn't met the other child's mum.
And, Jane, are you challenged?
Child repetition.
Yes, that's right. And
like a Catholic family.
And there are 11 seconds... 11 seconds still available, Janie, on your mum starting now.
My mum was called Annie. She could dance like Judy Garland and sing like a budgie with a really bad throat. Her hair was dark, her legs were long, and she could carry along a song and never once let me down. Yes!
So, Janie Godley, our Scottish representative on the show up here in Edinburgh, was speaking
finally.
Then on the when the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so. And let me tell you, she's finished in a magnificent fourth place. No. It's the points you get and the contribution is so important. She was only just behind Clement Freud, and it was a fine third place, and he was a point or two behind Paul Merton in an excellent second place. But just out ahead of them all was Marcus Brigstock. So we say, Marcus, this week, you are our winner. Thank you, so it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Janie Godley and Marcus Brigstock. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle with such aplomb. We thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also grateful to this lovely audience here at the Pleasance on the Festival Fringe 2007, who cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, thank you, and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute! Yay!